And let's head straight to Europe this morning where, as I mentioned, the stock market sell-off continues. London has closed down 1.7%. Frankfurt and Paris down more than 2%. The US market is also down. The German Chancellor, Angela Merkel, has stepped up calls for tougher regulation of banks and financial markets. She says governments of leading nations must act together and show a signal of strength by tightening financial rules. Speaking at a high-level conference in Berlin, Chancellor Merkel was unrepentant, calling on other EU nations to support tough reforms.
Wir halten zusammen, weil diese gemeinsame Währung für uns von so großer
We stand firmly together because this common currency is of the utmost importance to us and brings so many advantages and benefits to every Eurozone member state. And this, of course, actually goes far beyond the purpose of the internal market, and that is why we are willing to take all the necessary political steps.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel, her comments come a day after she warned the euro was in danger and that her government had introduced a unilateral ban on short selling, a move which has angered many of her European partners. Justin Urquhart-Stewart is the director of Seven Investment Management. He joins us once again from London. Justin, thanks for your time again on Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran. Yeah.
Justin, what's happening to global markets right now? Can you try and break down a little the main drivers of this sell-off?
Yes, you're seeing a sort of coming together of little sand devils, those little tornadoes all at once, and creating a very nasty storm together. So you can make a list of them if you like. There's concerns about growth in China, concerns about Australian mining tax, the concern over what's happening with the euro as well, the sort of fault line running through the euro, and also what's happening with sovereign debt. Add to that some concerns about consumer confidence and jobless figures in the States today, and you've got a whole recipe of things linking together to actually make the markets very nervous indeed.
And is there one of these things that started all these,
Sand devils. Tornadoes.
Yeah. Was it, for instance, the sovereign debt collapse of Greece that then gave the market the jitters?
That's really been the trigger, because if 2 years ago we were going through a banking credit crisis, now we're going through a sovereign credit crisis, because you've got the issue here with Greece, who has been a member of the Eurozone from the start, but frankly hasn't obeyed any of the rules. Mm-hmm. Well, to be truthful, none of them actually have obeyed any of the rules, but it's a matter of how far you're going to break the rules. You had sort of Euro core, Germany, France, the Netherlands and Austria. They were basically going along with the rules, but breaching them to a certain extent. But then you had those ones that have been nicknamed the pigs, Portugal, Ireland, Italy, Greece and Spain. And they were actually having a party. So what you saw was they're frankly squandering the benefit of the low interest rates.
But Justin, then we did have that EU-IMF bailout, the 1 trillion euro bailout. Why didn't that stabilise the eurozone countries? Investors particularly?
Well, the size of it, of course, is great, but unfortunately it's a bit like actually trying to deal with some of the symptoms, not the cause. What you need to do is actually put back financial discipline. What you've got is 16 different fiscal authorities and one central bank. And, of course, those different fiscal authorities do what they like. And so there's no discipline and coordination above them all. So what is now being called for by Angela Merkel, a little late, is the need for this discipline. And, of course, then she shocked the markets yesterday by actually going through this rather strange issue of suddenly banning naked short selling without consulting with everybody else. But that really was a bit like shooting the canary in the mine rather than necessarily trying to sort out the actual or the poisonous gas in the mine.
Yeah, sure. And in fact, that move by Germany yesterday, the ban on short selling, that seems to, as you say, have spooked the market. Is that in a sense like ringing the bell and saying, hey, we've got a problem here, and therefore everyone goes, oh, there's a problem?
It's just aggravated absolutely everything. And as just may have given another excuse for investors to say, well, if people are going to behave like this, we'll take some money off the market. Now, what you've had, of course, since last March, we've had a fantastic rally in stock markets around the world. The global economy has recovered really rather nicely. Not surprisingly, because most of the economy around the world has been on steroids, because every country around the world has been able to benefit from this boom. Australia, of course, very beneficial, of course, benefited from it strongly as well. And there comes a stage where people are almost looking for an excuse now to say, thank you, I've made some profits, I'll take that off for the time being, I'll come back later.
What about the German Chancellor's call for tougher regulation of banks and financial markets, for a sort of a global toughening of the banks? Why hasn't that been applauded?
It's strange, isn't it? Because this has been talked about for months, or well, nearly 2 years now, and there will be further tightening on it. But basically, it's almost been seen as being, well, now you're finally coming around to this attitude, and you're doing so by just banning one bit of short selling. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem like a coordinated and coherent policy. No, markets will react more effectively towards the euro once they see that there is some effective discipline across the euro members. And that means that the euro itself has to be reformed. Either you're going to have to see some of these countries effectively, well, you can call it defaulting, but effectively restructuring their debt, or you're going to see a restructuring of the euro, so you end up with sort of neuro, the northern European countries, who sort of roughly go along with it, and the southern European countries, maybe they go back to their own domestic currency, a local currency which is pegged at a lower level, but still operating internationally within the euro. That's a major change, but we're probably getting to that sort of level of surgery now, I suspect.
An economic change would also, you'd think, kickstart some kind of political realignment in Europe too. Justin, I think you're aware of the political debate we're having here in this country about a government's proposed mining super profits tax. And there's some argument going on about how much that proposed tax is affecting the stock market here. Has the Australian government's proposed tax on super profits for the mining industry contributed to the global equity sell-off?
Oh, yes, it has. It is one of those sand devils. It is one of the ones, and particularly, of course, affects us here in London, because the FTSE 100 index is not a very British index, it's a very international index. And in fact, one of the major parts of that index are mining companies, and a lot of that Australian mining companies linked, obviously, to China. So in many ways, if you want to be rude about London, call it the best Chinese index outside China. And so it is intrinsically linked to that proposals, that your proposals. So we're watching those very carefully indeed. So it wasn't the only reason for a sell-off, but it was just one of those extra reasons to say, hang on, I think we may have seen a top here for the time being.
Well, it's, as I say, it's a very being hotly disputed and hotly argued here in this country, the future of it. If the government does manage to get through, or if the government perseveres with this notion of some kind of mining tax and manages to adjust it so that the mining companies come in agreement with it, is that likely to settle things down, do you think, if there is agreement here?
It's the agreement that's vital, one way or the other. Markets hate uncertainty. Just tell us what the rules are going to be, and we can then factor that into the prices. Does that mean that the whole world stops as a result of that? No, it won't. What it will do, though, is no doubt add further concerns actually to whether China's continued growth continues at this level, and this infrastructure build and all the our ores that are required to continue that, or whether actually we're going to see some more bubbles developing in China as they try desperately to try and cool down that economy. And like all governments, of course, in managing to cool the economy, they normally do so with a rather large mallet and tap it a few times and then hit it rather hard. And so that's what people, I think, are more concerned about. That, and of course, that within the relationship with the US economy, which is also showing some good signs of recovery, but we need some more growth figures next week to see really whether this growth has got some traction to it.
And what about the Australian dollar? There's been a big sell-off in the Aussie dollar. Do you expect it to fall much further?
It's interesting because, you see, there's still been this flight to US dollar, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if that continues for the time being. So we've seen weakness in sterling, Aussie dollar obviously affected by still a lot of the concerns over that taxation issue, but still the overall view that actually people are returning to the US dollar, not because of strength necessarily of the economy, but because it is still the world's global reserve currency, and certainly it's not the euro.
And certainly it's not the euro at the moment. Well, as we look forward now, and there seems to be this kind of teetering going on in Europe in particular, and not quite clear where that's going to spread. What's the future? Because there's not the capacity for a global stimulus bailout like we had before. No more stimulus, no more recovery.
It's a very good question, Fran, because there is a fault line which starts off in Greece, runs through Europe, straight through London, through Dublin, and through to New York. This is sovereign debt, how countries are going to manage it. And we over here have barely started on it yet. Even after our recent general election, really no one's really admitting that the emperor is somewhat sartorially challenged, to say the least. So how are we going to manage this debt, how the Americans are? It does mean, effectively, having moved from the banking crisis, you go to this sovereign debt crisis. This is not easily resolved, I'm afraid.
How worried are you, Justin?
We've come a long way. I'm sort of half thinking we're showing signs of looking a bit like a pattern of the 1930s. But equally, the other side of me says, we've actually seen some reasonable traction. We've seen some good growth figures, good corporate figures. Actually, the overall global economy is still looking okay. What we have done, though, is seen far too much recovery far too quickly and far too enthusiastic. So I won't be at all surprised if the latter half of this year we actually see some pullbacks. But the underlying growth in the economy, global economy, is still going to be there. But we're going to be going for a decade of lower, slower world.
Justin Urquhart-Stewart, thanks so much for joining us again on Breakfast.
My pleasure, Fran. Thank you.
Justin Urquhart-Stewart is the director of Seven Investment Management, joining us there from London. It's 17 past 6.